Good morning, Delaware. It's another Friday morning in Delaware, and you know what that means. You're here with Off the Shelf, the library's radio show. We thank our friends of the library for sponsoring the show. We'll be talking more about the friends in the second half, because if it weren't for the friends, we wouldn't be doing this next interview. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, George.
Morning, Gage.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And our guest today is Annie Lyons. Annie Lyons is an author who is lives in the UK, and I just as a brief introduction, after a career in bookselling and publishing, Annie Lyons has published 6 novels, including the best-selling Not Quite Perfect. When not working on her novels, she teaches creative writing, and she lives in the southeast of London with her husband and 2 children. Ms. Lyons' latest novel is The Brilliant Life of Eudora Honeysett, which was published in September to great reviews, including positive reviews in Kirkus, Booklist, and Publishers Weekly, a 90% positive rating in Amazon, and it also ended up on a lot of 2020 best of lists. So Ms. Lyons is speaking to us from her home in London. So good morning, good afternoon to you, since it's afternoon there now. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good afternoon. Yes, I'm very well, thank you. It's a sort of sunny day here, so we're all fine. We're doing okay. Thank you.
Great. We are really looking forward to talking to you next Thursday in the Zoom presentation. We're going to do our tea time with Annie Lyons at 4 o'clock Eastern time. And we're really looking forward to that. But we really wanted to give people a taste of your writing and what you write about. I have to tell you, I loved The Brilliant Life of Eudora Honeysett. I reviewed it a couple of weeks ago on the show. I loved it because it was kind of a realistic but not maudlin look at end-of-life issues. How did you pull that off? I mean, anytime you mention death in this country, at least people go, oh, that's a heavy subject. But you just made a very life-affirming novel about death.
Well, thank you, George. I appreciate that. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, it's a big topic, isn't it, to tackle? I think I'd always wanted to write a novel that dealt with death. And this is my 6th published novel. And I wanted to write something about death, because I feel like we push it away a lot. We don't talk about it. We sort of deny it in lots of ways. And also I'd hit midlife. And when you hit midlife, death seems a little bit closer. And so I wanted to write something that where I could consider death from all angles, but I was very clear that I didn't want it to be depressing or dreary or maudlin in any way. I wanted it to be uplifting. I wanted it to be hopeful as well. Consequently, enter Eudora. I needed broad shoulders to carry that topic, so I had to find a suitable character to do just that, really.
She's a fascinating character. She's 85 years old, and basically, she's not depressed, she's not in terrible health, but she just decided she's done with life, mm-hmm. and she's ready to pack it in. She deals with a voluntary suicide organization in Switzerland and is preparing to go, when all of a sudden her life kind of takes a turn, and that turn is in the form of a little girl named Rose.
Yes. Yes. So as you say, Eudora, she's sort of done with, she calls it this noisy, moronic world. I mean, she's not depressed. She's just finished with her life and she wants to be able to go on her terms. And she sees that as her only way of doing it by, you know, applying for a voluntary assisted death. But yes, then she's just decided to do that, starts to put the process in place. And then a family move in next door. And amongst them is this little girl called Rose Trewidney. She decides that Eudora would make an excellent new best friend. and Eudora doesn't have much choice in that, really, because she's very polite and mm-hmm. she doesn't really want to be rude. And, Rose is very insistent. And so to start with, Eudora is fairly reluctant, but Rose manages to kind of wheedle her way into Eudora's life, and they sort of embark on this, I guess you call it a set of adventures. That's where I'll leave it for now.
This image of Maggie Smith in my mind. She was the person, I always kind of cast novels as I'm reading them, mm-hmm. and I just saw Maggie Smith, that perfect English lady.
I did too, actually. Yes, I saw Maggie Smith as well.
And my granddaughter is Rose, so...
If Maggie is listening, I mean, obviously, that's what writers do all the time. They're constantly casting their novels for when the inevitable film happens. Dame Maggie Smith, she would, you know, just give me a call and I will sort something out. It'd be amazing.
That would be
amazing.
I think
she'd be perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a quote that, if you don't mind me reading, it's in the book and it's early on in the book. And I think it really summarizes what you were saying earlier about death. And it's, people don't talk about death, not really. People fear it, ignore it, deny it. They're happy to blow one another's heads off in those infernal video games or devour horrific films where people are murdered in the most gruesome of ways while refusing to face the reality of what death is or to have a grown-up discussion about what it means. And I think you stumbled upon voluntary assisted death as something that Eudora is interested in. So how was the research process with voluntary assisted death? I don't know if that's something that a lot of people in the States would know anything much about.
Not really, no.
Well, it was very thorough because I wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about and mm-hmm. it was as realistic as possible. And so I did a lot of reading. I actually, one of the things that sort of inspired me to start with, I thought this was a good story, was a story of a nurse who, British nurse who lived in the UK, and she got to her mid-70s and she decided, similarly as Eudora, that she was done with her life and she didn't really have anything wrong with her. She just didn't want to go through what she saw as the indignities of old age. She didn't want to end up in a home. She didn't want her children to have to look after her. And it just threw up lots of interesting questions for me. And so I thought, well, you know, there are people who do feel this way and actually have it. From the responses I've had from readers, I know there are hundreds of people who feel this way, who want to talk about it, who want to open up those conversations. So it's not about saying one thing or the other. It's not coming down on one side of the argument or another, because once you get to either side of those arguments, they get quite polarized mm-hmm. and quite shouty. Mm-hmm. It's having a conversation and saying, how do people want the end of their lives to be? And you know, to be able to have those choices. So yes, I did a lot of research. I did contact an organization in Switzerland who were very helpful and who gave me, you know, advice about the processes of it and what people would have to go through. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that I was responsible with that as well, you know. So mm-hmm. it's, yes, it was very interesting.
It seems like a lot of that probably came through in the character of Petra, is that right? The assistant that Eudora converses with regularly.
Well, I like that character and Hannah, who is referred to as the death doula, who also is sort of a very rational character who is trying to help assist people into death, but not with the kind of the voluntary end of life, just more like more hospice and that kind of thing. It's I mm-hmm. thought her character was sort of almost like an offset to Petra and mm-hmm. the organization in Switzerland.
Yes, because she's, you know, she wouldn't be supportive of what Eudora was doing.
Right.
But she's one of those amazing people who want people who are dying to feel safe, to feel loved, to feel, you know, comforted, and for their relatives as well to feel the same. And I did quite a bit of research into that as well. Do you have death doulas in the States?
We would call that hospice. That would be our closest.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but they're not medically trained necessarily, but they mm-hmm. have, they just sort of accompany people and are there for them and fulfill a role. And I think you have to be an incredible person to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's why I wanted to talk about all the different aspects of how you look at death and the kind of concept of a good death and what that looks like, really. So
I thought it was interesting too. You tell the story, Eudora's story through her life. And I think that a lot of her experiences are shaped by the Blitz and and I think that it seems to me that when she's asked to be in charge of the family, to take care of her mom and her little sister, that shapes mm-hmm. the rest of her life. It just kind of forces her into a mold that I'm not sure she would have chosen, and yet she does it so well. Is that part of that British reserve, that part of the doing your duty, the, excuse my terrible cliched phrase, but keeping the stiff upper lip?
No, it's... it's actually, there's a lot of truth in it. Not, you know, I think particularly for the generation that lived during the war, mm-hmm. I think there's a great sense of resilience, of doing your duty, and that if life delivered you a certain, you know, set of circumstances, then you followed that. And she, because her father asks her to do it, and she is so deeply, you know, she has such a sort of strong relationship with her father, when he dies, then she has no choice really than to follow what he's asked her to do, and she does. Mm-hmm. But I have to say that the inspiration for a lot of that came from my own mum, because she was born in 1934 and grew up during the war, and that her generation, she was very much of that make do, amend, and dig for victory, and keep going, and you know, the mm-hmm. resilience that I know I have today is mm-hmm. comes from her. So she was a different character to you, Dora. She wasn't quite so, well, she was stubborn, but my mum was a real sweetie, but it's part of that spirit of those people that lived through that period of time, you know, which I wanted to portray. I thought, I know a lot of people like that. Yeah.
Along the same line of characters and character development, I love reading authors' end credits and acknowledgments. And you mentioned in your acknowledgments, in one of your final lines, that you also have to thank endless episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And we have a very loyal Brooklyn Nine-Nine following here in the States, and especially among our circle here. Did Brooklyn Nine-Nine influence any of your writing? Did any of the characters creep into your development, or any particular catchphrases? I can't imagine Eudora would say like noise or anything like that.
Noise point. No, I think it gave me a great, because I love that show so much. I watch it with my kids.
Yeah.
We absolutely love that show. That's got us through some very dark times, and it just is we'll watch it every day. My son insists on it, and we are obsessed by all those different characters because they're like a family.
Yeah.
You know, and they have those quirks of family. And I mean, I try to write, I make my writing funny, and I love all sorts of comedy, and Brooklyn has just been one that has really, I mean, I'd love to write something as funny as Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It is geniusly smartly written.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Well,
it's fantastic.
Annie Lyons, I want to thank you so much for making time for this to be part of our show today. We are really looking forward to your long form interview that we'll have on Thursday, January 28th at 4:00. Tickets are available through Everbrite or at the Friends website, and we are really looking forward to this. Thank you again, and thank you for giving the world Eudora. She's quite a character, and we really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. I'm really looking forward to the event. I'm very jealous about the cake. I might have to bake something myself.
Yes.
It's going to be 9:00 in the evening here, but it's never too late for cake.
Never.
That's true,
so,
right.
No, I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you for your support. I really appreciate it.
And same to you. Please stay tuned. We're going to talk about some books and some things going on at the library the rest of this week. We will be back right after the break. So thanks, and stay tuned. Welcome back to Off the Shelf. Boy, that was fun.
Yeah.
I do love talking to authors. And an author with that kind of accent just makes me all kind of, just kind of mellow.
It makes me feel very proper here on this Friday morning in January in the States.
So we were talking about the cakes that she mentioned.
Yeah.
And we are working with Beehive Bakery that is on Liberty Road in Powell, just right near the intersection of Powell Road and Liberty Road. Can't miss it. It's right over there. And what are they doing now?
Yeah. So if you want to, we were talking to Annie Lyons, of course, about her upcoming book chat, and it's going to be on Thursday, January 28th at 4 p.m., which here in the States would be tea time.
Yes.
4 p.m.
Perfect tea time.
And so we thought that it would be great to partner, the Friends did, with Beehive Bread Company. So what you can order in advance is a tasty box of Eudora's Yummies to accompany your tea from Beehive Bread. So they've got a little bit of specifics for how you can order. You can pre-order your box of treats between January 20th and the 24th. From 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. via their online store. So when you go to the Eventbrite listing to buy your ticket to hear from Annie, just note when the pre-orders for Eudora's Yummies take place. So you can do a curbside pickup. That can be either 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. on the 28th. And that box, listen to what it's going to include. It's going to include 2 mini lemon scones or scones, 2 thumbprint cookies, mini oat bars, and a small loaf of their popular iced gingerbread. And that's all for only $17.
Oh.
And if you live in the 43065 zip code, which is Powell, delivery is available just for $5. But otherwise, you can still do the pickup for free at 10 or 2 on the 28th. So I think I'm looking forward to those thumbprint cookies.
Oh, man. Yummy. I love thumbprint cookies. Yes. That sounds great. All right, good. And, of course, this is a fundraiser for the Friends of the Library. The tickets are available for $5 for Friends members, $10 for non-members. And you can get there. It's at Eventbrite. Or you can get the link through the Delaware Library Friends.org website.
Yes.
So, anyway, and also, if you'd like to get a little sneak preview, on Monday, the Around the World in Books and Bites book discussion, which is run by Joy Kelch out of our Outreach Services Department, that's at 1 o'clock. They are going to be talking about this book. So if you participate in that and you come up with some questions you'd like to ask, send them to me and I'll make sure that they get asked during the interview we have on Thursday, the 28th.
Hey, speaking of sending things to you, George, don't we have a couple giveaways?
Yes, we do.
I think we maybe teased last week that we might have 2 free tickets to hear from Annie.
We do indeed. So the first person who emails me at gneedham@delawarelibrary.org, and if it happens before I get back to the station this morning, it'll be timestamped. Whoever gets there first will get 2 free tickets to be able to participate in the live discussion with Annie Lyons.
And now, how do we spell your last name?
We spell the whole name, G like for George, no space, N like in Nancy, E-E, D like in dog, H like in hungry, for those Eudora yummies, A like in apple, M like in more yummies, please.
More yummies.
And that's at DelawareLibrary.org. So good luck, and we'll be happy to give away those tickets. So I want to thank the Friends of the Library for sponsoring that giveaway. Mm-hmm. We have a few minutes left to talk about what we're reading, so what do you got for us?
Nothing. Honestly, I have been trying to plow my way through The Brilliant Life of Eudora Honeysett by Miss Annie Lyons, and I have really been enjoying it. I wanted to make sure that I had it finished by the time that Books and Bites came, and by the time that, I really wanted to have it finished for her this morning. I'm very close, but not quite. No cigar yet.
So I'm reading, or actually I read this past Sunday, I had a backache, so I didn't feel like doing anything. Mm-hmm. So I just sat and I read Fourth Down and Out, an Andy Hayes mystery by Andrew Welsh Huggins. Now, for a long time, I thought that Columbus really needed its own fictional hardcore private investigator. I thought it's a perfect town for doing something like that. Mm-hmm. And I just discovered that it's had one for nearly 7 years, and I didn't even know about it.
I
felt like such a jerk. But I got this ad from Ohio University Press. Swallow Press is a subdivision of that. And they've been publishing Andrew Welsh Huggins' Andy Hayes novels since 2014. So I went back and found the first one, Fourth Down and Out, that was sitting on our shelves. If that name sounds familiar, Andrew Welsh Huggins is the editor and the writer for the Associated Press in Columbus. He does legal affairs for them. You may have heard him if you pay attention to Governor DeWine's pressers. He's usually asking the first question in those. But he's written 6 of these Andy Hayes novels, and there's another one coming out in June. So a little bit about Andy Hayes. His nickname is Woody, which he hates. Not because he hates Woody Hayes, but because he hates the background of it. He's a private investigator working for a criminal attorney in Columbus. Hayes was a quarterback in this book for OSU who got in trouble with the law for reasons that slowly evolved during the book. It doesn't all come out at once, so I don't want to blow anything in there. I don't want to blow any suspense. As a result of what happened, he is one of the most hated individuals in Central Ohio.
That's a hard bar to pass.
Well, not really. If you screw up an OSU season, you're going to be one of the most hated individuals in Central Ohio.
You get up there.
And that's what he did. So in this initial novel, Hayes is hired by a lobbyist who's been involved in a compromising position with a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
The lobbyist is being blackmailed by this young lady and her boyfriend. And so Hayes' job is to recover the video on which he's been recorded and in whatever format it exists, which it turns out is on a laptop.
Mm.
Of course, this being a noir mystery, the opening case is only the appetizer for the banquet of complexity to follow.
That's a beautiful sentence, George.
Thank you. I was really proud of that sentence. Hayes touches on corporate corruption, family violence, the opioid epidemic, and the cult of OSU football, all of which contribute to a most satisfying conclusion. It's very well done. Welsh Huggins name checks all of the Central Ohio landmarks you'd expect him to. German Village, Easton, Carfagnas, the Hilltop, Powell, and of course at the climax, the Shoe.
Okay.
So it's all in there. And the movie, the novel moves at a really nice pace. It is a fast read. Like I said, I read it all on a Sunday afternoon. It's a noir, but it's not overwhelmingly violent. Although there are a couple of pretty good fights in there. There's no extensive blood and guts. And so actually, as I was reading this, I would favorably compare this to the first novel in Robert Parker's Spencer series, which I was a huge fan of. That started when I was in college, mm-hmm. ended when Parker died a few years ago. But the first book was called The Godwolf Manuscript. And each book effectively portrayed a really good set of core characters that it was going to build from. And they vividly drew their settings. So with Spencer, it was Boston. With Hayes, it's Columbus. And I think he does a good job of humanizing Columbus, makes it interesting, contrasts it with Cincinnati or Cleveland or other cities in the state. So I'm really looking forward to reading more of the books in this series. Again, this one's called Fourth Down and Out, and it's by Andrew Welsh Huggins. I believe we have all the books in the series in one or another location of our library, and if not, through the Central Library Consortium.
Yeah, now that you've discovered it, you can keep going with it.
You bet I will. Yeah. I had another one sitting on my shelf because I had to actually get this one from Orange. Mm-hmm. So the other one was on our shelf, so I pulled it off, and I'm hanging on to that to read next.
Another Sunday afternoon, hopefully with a healed back, but lots of time for reading.
Definitely, right. Yeah. And with this kind of weather, it's great to sit inside and pour yourself a third cup of coffee and just read.
So. Or a tea with some scones.
Aha, yes. my leftover Eudora yummies.
Uh-huh, exactly. I mean, I don't think I could eat all of those during tea time. I think they're meant to share.
I would think so, yes. So. Okay, so we got some things coming up at the library this week. As I already mentioned, Around the World in Books and Bites. That's a adult book club, 1 o'clock on Monday. It's specifically about the brilliant life of Eudora Honeysett. Mm-hmm. So what else have we got coming up this week?
We have, I think it's the kickoff meeting. If not, it's the second meeting of our Powerful Tools for Caregivers. Mm-hmm. This is a partnership that we're doing with SourcePoint, and they came to us. They have, it is an evidence-based program. They really want to have a good group of about 10 individuals who are caregivers, who are looking after maybe an adult, a neighbor, someone like that who they would consider themselves a caregiver for. It is a weekly 6-week course, and it is meeting at 1 o'clock on Monday afternoons, 1 to 2:30 p.m., and they're going to teach caregivers how to care for their loved ones while also caring for themselves, how to develop tools to face the challenges of caregiving. And so that one does require registration in advance. So go on to DelawareLibrary.org and sign up on our events page, and you'll be given a link through SourcePoint.
That's a really important point, because too many people who end up being caregivers for parents or siblings or whatever, they end up not taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. So this is a really good chance to get yourself the tools you need to be able to take care of yourself if you're in that situation.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say in the same way, you find yourself in a certain age and you're either taking care of a parent or taking care of a younger child. Mm-hmm. So then similarly on the 28th of this coming week, Thursday, the 28th at 1 o'clock, again, this is an afternoon. There is a parenting workshop. This is with Sentero counselors. This one is going to help you if you have a young one between the ages of, again, 0 and 8. And it could be any way, if it's toddler woes or, elementary school woes. But it's really going to help you work through some managing, fighting, and aggression.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yes. I might sign up for those. Help me with my sneaky mom tips segment.
I do want to mention Wednesday, we have another program coming out through of our Maker Annex, and that is Protecting Your Online Privacy.
Yes.
That's requires a pre-registration, but that's available on our events page at DelawareLibrary.org. You'll learn some tools and techniques to help keep your online life safer and more private. And with everything that's going on and with what we've seen in the last few weeks about how online things can come back to haunt you, you might want to actually take this class. So, and finally, I do want to mention, because we had Harla here last week talking about our human trafficking, and we have the in the evening of the 28th, we have the parenting workshop at 1. We've got Annie Lyons at 4. And then at 7, we have our book discussion about the book Traffic by Ellen Hopkins, which is the book discussion for mature teens and adults about human trafficking. So all of those will be interesting. And it's amazing how much we're actually packing into when the buildings are still not open.
Our calendar looks full, and yet we still, it's all virtual. So, and I think it's really spreading a wide range of interests.
I think so. And I think that's partially what the library has to do. So, again, it's been a good show. Thank you very much, Gage. We appreciate your help.
My pleasure.
And Nicole, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Happy
and
Friday.
Big thanks to our friends at the library, not only for sponsoring this show, but for sponsoring this great program coming up with Annie Lyons. So we will see you in the parking lot.